You know, I've mentioned this before. Sometimes we think the grass is greener somewhere else. Any of you ever been guilty of thinking that? You know, here I am stuck in New Hampshire, you know. Let me tell you something about our fair state. I love New Hampshire. I've lived a lot of my life here. But I was traveling the other day. I was going south on 93, and I thought to myself, I'm going in the right direction because it was like a parking lot. On the other side going north, everybody's wanting to come into our state. I think all of New England was crowding into New Hampshire. So, you know, there's a lot of people who think very highly of our fair state. And we need to just be thankful for where God has put us and realize that the scripture says he doeth all things well. So you're where God wants you to be. And don't lament over that. Be satisfied with it, and open your heart to what God has. You know, God has us stationed where he has us for a reason. There's some mission God has for you to fulfill. Just remember that, and let's let the Lord work in our lives, and God will help us. We're going to get through. We're going to make it, and let's purpose to accomplish all that God wants us to accomplish, all right? Be not weary in well-doing, Scripture says. All right? Don't give up. Don't get tired, you know. Be thankful where you are and say, well, you know, Lord, there's something exciting. There's some reason you have me where I am, and I want to follow through and get the job done and do what you want me to do, okay? Let's all be laborers that are joyful and cheerful in the harvest field of the Lord. And I know God's blessing will follow. Praise God. Well, this is a day that around our nation, people are celebrating the founding of our country. And it's amazing as you watch TV, you see all the events, all the small town events. You know, the 4th of July is one of those celebrations where to understand America, you have to go to the small towns on a day like the 4th of July. And it's fascinating to see how people celebrate the birth of our country. And I love the whole idea of patriotism. I don't shy away from that at all. I think we ought to be patriotic. You know, we have the flag over here in the church, and I think that's appropriate. We ought to be good citizens of our country. The scripture tells us we ought to be that way. We ought to support those who are over us. Even though we may not agree, we need to pray for those who are in leadership over us. We need to pray for our nation. And pray for God's blessing. And God has blessed this country. I am so thankful. They say that, you know, the odds of being born in America are infinitesimally small. You could have been born in China more likely than being born here or some highly populated country like Malaysia or somewhere else. But I'm so thankful the odds worked out that I was born here, see? In America. And I enjoy the freedoms of America. And all that it has to offer. And so we are remembering our past and what happened, the sacrifices that were made. And whenever you talk about the 4th of July, the subject of freedom comes up. Freedom. And when you begin to think of freedom, you begin to think of sacrifice. You begin to think of sacrifice. Freedom. And I was thinking about that, and there was a verse of scripture that almost immediately came to mind when I was considering this holiday and the whole subject of freedom. And then I thought, whoa, I'm going to take a closer look at that verse. It's found in Galatians. It's Galatians, the 5th chapter and the first verse. And in Galatians, the apostle he's really dealing with some issues of individuals that were caught up in traditions and different things. They were Christians, but they had a lot of other stuff going on in their lives. You know what I mean? I mean, they wanted to be followers of Christ, but they were getting hung up on different kinds of things, and he touches on those in the book of Galatians. But there's this wonderful verse, the first verse of chapter 5 in Galatians, and notice what it says. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. I want to speak on this subject, celebrate freedom. I think one of the things we ought to do on the 4th of July, we celebrate the freedoms we have in a patriotic sense, you know. We're thankful for the country that we live in. and all of the privileges that we have. But really, as Christians, as children of God, there's this wonderful subject of freedom that we have, freedom that you have, freedom that I have. And I was thinking about this, and really, whether or not you're happy with your life, a lot of it has to do not just with the freedoms you enjoy in the country in which you live, but it has to do with the freedoms that you're experiencing in your life. It's what you're dealing with. It's what you're having to face on a daily basis, and how you act and how you handle those things. And I was thinking about this, that, you know, as a child of God, we have a lot to be thankful for. On this day, this weekend, that kind of exemplifies all the good things that there are about the freedoms we enjoy, we ought to be celebrating the freedom we have in Jesus. You know, it's been said often that freedom isn't free, that freedom comes with a price. It's a very somber and sobering thought when we consider our nation, especially national freedom, what it was. And we have rehearsed from time to time the beginnings of our country and how difficult it was to break away from another country and to declare yourself to be free and independent. It was during the infancy of our country where great sacrifice was made by those who founded our nation. 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, they knew they were going to pay a price for their commitment. They knew that all of the excitement of the moment, you know, let's all sign. And there was great excitement in the room, I'm sure, as they all gathered round. And they were really excited about this. They were going to do this great thing. But then, after it was done, to think about what it meant, the significance of that moment when those 56 individuals signed that document, the Declaration of Independence, and then it dawned on them, I'm sure, they would have to pay a price for their commitment to this new nation that they intended would offer freedom for all. And many of them did. And you know the record if you've read it, historically what happened after that, because the powers of the ruling nation that had a lot to say in the early affairs of our country stepped in, and many of those who signed that document paid a price. Houses and estates were burned. Fortunes that they had amassed over the years in the new country were lost forever. And many paid the ultimate price with their lives, all for the cause of freedom. Stop and think about that. You know, I've thought about our Christian heritage. There's a lot of things I do because of my faith in Christ, to take a stand for Christ, you know, lay down your life for Christ. But can you imagine the kind of resolve and the kind of commitment it was for those early pioneers of our country? Many of them were God-fearing individuals, but there was something that went that was a little bit different about their commitment to the country. There was something about this idea of having a country where people truly would be free, and they were willing to put it all on the line just so there would be a place where freedom would reign. And many of them did. And many of them died for the cause of freedom here in America. And our national security today requires that same kind of commitment and resolve. And we have stories of those who have gone over to distant lands, seem so far away, and some would wonder, why would we do that? It's because there's a direct connection between what's happening halfway around the world and what may happen here in America. And there are threats that have been made. And because of the security we so dearly covet and want here in America, we have men and women who even now at this hour are in harm's way to protect the freedoms we enjoy. Just you sitting here this morning, without fear of someone coming in and taking you off and throwing you in prison or in some way maligning you. Just that calm assurance you have that you're in a safe place where you can experience the joy of freedom. There are men and women who are protecting that, as simple as it is. And some have and some are laying down their lives for that. We'll hear about it in the news over the next few days. You'll hear about it. Something happened and another life was lost. Why? It's for this thing called freedom. It's to protect certain ideals that we believe are important. The price for your freedom. I want to ask you this question. Are you free? Because, you know, you could be politically free, but there's another freedom that we talk about, and that's the freedom and the peace that we experience inside our lives, inside our hearts and our minds. There are some people who live in free lands that aren't free. They're held captive. They're held captive by various things. They're held captive by remorse over events of the past. Maybe something that was done to them, some wrong suffered, or something they did themselves, and it's amazing how some people languish over that for years, and they are not free. They're held captive, all within the recesses of their hearts and minds. Are you free? I want to ask you something. If freedom costs something, the next question is, if you say you are free, then what does it cost you? What did it cost you? What does it cost you? The problem we all face is sin, and sin enslaves, and it demands that a price be paid. And the truth of the matter is, no matter how you might wish it otherwise, no one is exempt. Everybody is included. It's just one of those things you might want to wish it away, but the fact is, because you're part of the human race, you're going to have to deal with sin somewhere along the line. It just happens, and if you don't deal with it, you will feel the effects of sin because sin demands a price be paid. And you'll pay a price. Think of the addict today, the drug addict. You know, they, for a moment of pleasure, for a moment of a feeling of ecstasy, but oh, the price that is paid to be enslaved in the grips of chemical dependency. And then the life and the promise of life that once could have been, how it's squandered, and all of that promise vanishes away because of the price they're paying for the sin in which they have indulged. And that's the way it is, you know. That's just the way it is. Those who have aspired for great things, you know, there are those out there that want wealth and fame, and they'll do anything to get it, and they'll trample over others, they'll deceive others, they'll do whatever it takes because their motto is that doesn't make any difference. The end will justify the means if I have to run over some of my best friends and do things in a deceptive way. It doesn't make any difference because I want to make it to the top. Think of what they sacrificed. Think of the price they are paying. You see, sin always exacts a price, and they will live with that for the rest of their lives. Riches they may attain, but they will be held bound in their hearts and in their souls by the price they have paid to be where they are today. You see, that's the way sin is. And it is a dilemma for which there is no answer. This world has no answer for it. Oh, there are those that come, you know. There are psychologists and counselors and others and those who theorize, and they say, well, this is how you need to get out of your dilemma. This is how we have all of that, but you know, it just really doesn't touch on the real problem because, you see, the problem, it's not that we're all essentially good and we just need to realize that. You have to tap into your inner self. Ever hear that before? You know, well, your problem is you just haven't discovered your inner self. You got to tap into your inner self. Well, listen, let me tell you something. You tap into your inner self and you know what you'll find? not a lot of good. The deeper you go, you'll find there's a lot of things there that are not so good. The answer is not tapping into your inner self. The answer, my friend, has always been the same, and we find it in God's Word. The only antidote to sin, the only answer to it is found in the cross. We have a flag that symbolizes freedom for us, but our standard is the cross. We look to the cross. Why? Because the power of the cross does something that this world could never do. It breaks through the bondage that people experience when they're held bound by sin. And it's really simple when you stop to think about it. The devil wants to make people think it's difficult, but it is not really that difficult. Not if God's word is true, as we believe it is, and as it has proven itself to be. It can be said that there is a universal yearning to be free. People around the world are yearning to be free. There are many that are flocking to this country thinking that if they can only make it here, they can cross the border into this country, they'll finally experience something here they would never experience in their own land. And it may be true to a certain degree. They yet still will have to deal with the problems of that inner bondage that we all experience, even though they may live here. The Apostle Paul voices his struggle that he had in life. And you would say, the Apostle Paul, the great man of God, the great missionary, the great evangelist, he had a struggle? Yes, he did. He had a tremendous experience with Christ on the road to Damascus. And we think of him in terms of esteem, this great man of God, and yet he expresses it so eloquently when he said this in the book to Romans, in the letter to the Romans, in that seventh chapter in the 24th verse, he's describing all these feelings going on. He's a child of God. He loves God. He's wanting to serve God, and yet he struggles with many things. And then he says these words, "Wretched man that I am." Boy, you know what? You use words like I don't know that I've ever said of myself, I'm so wretched. I probably am, but I don't think I've ever put it quite that way. You know, there are some things we don't quite express it that way. But there's something about that word wretched. I'm glad that it was translated that way, and it's true to the translation. You see, wretched, awful. You see, I'm in terrible straits. Wretched, wretched man that I am. He was lamenting over those things that were going on in his life that he knew were inconsistent with his love for God, his desire to live the way God wanted him to live. Wretched man that I am. And then he asked this question, who will set me free from the body of this death? It was like a death was going on in his body. It was so contrary to what he wanted to do. And you know, your failures are like that. Whenever you fail in something, whenever you fall short of something, it's like a living death in a way. You feel terrible, and sometimes it just doesn't go away overnight, say. You have to suffer. Why? Because we are in this body, we're living in this life, and the enemy is very keen. He knows where we are, and he'll make sure you don't forget some things. It takes the grace of God to help you do that. No matter how hard you try, you always seem to fail in something. And I think perhaps the Apostle Paul, as great a man of God as he was, and the great things that he saw, the miracles that he saw in his ministry, and all the people that he ministered to, there was failure along the way, and there were limitations in what he could do. And he just cries out, "Oh, wretched, wretched man that I am. Who's going to set me free from the body of this death?" What a great day, Independence Day, to be reminded of this truth we find in the Word of God. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what's going on in your life and in your heart. I don't know how you're feeling. I don't know what your limitations are. I don't know what it is that may be holding you down because, you know, I mean, if the Apostle Paul could feel that way, who are we, you know, today? We probably have those times, too, when we feel at a loss and we feel weak. And we don't want to feel that way. We don't want to be in that state of mind. And yet the Apostle Paul, he was there and he expressed it this way. You know, no matter how hard you try, it just seems like you always fail in something. Well, what's the only answer for this? The only answer for man's quest for freedom. I look to the words of Jesus. He was talking to a group of religious people, and he was pointing out to them how their inconsistencies in their religion and their practice, and even though they were religious in many things, they still fell short, and he was teaching them. And in the 8th chapter of John, there's a wonderful passage there, and he's talking to them. If you move down to the chapter, around the 31st verse or so, he's talking to them, and this is the answer he gives, because these were people who were struggling with the limitations of the body, of the flesh. Those who were, in a real sense, enslaved, they were in shackles, spiritual shackles, and they were trying their best through religious a ceremony and ritual to get out of it. And then Jesus speaks to them and he says, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. So the word is one of the important things. Continue in the word. My mother, who just passed away, she had a daily ritual. She would read scriptures in the morning and read them in the evening. And even while she was, in the last few days, she was at my brother's, and she could not physically do it herself. She had some of her grandchildren and others, they would read to her faithfully. They'd read in the morning, her morning, and if you and the thing was, it was interesting, because they tried to read just any passage. She said, no, that's not it. She knew where she wanted to be. She'd say, can you let you know? And they would read the passage that for, and then in the evening, they would read again. Brought great comfort to her. Did that for many, many years. You see, there's something about the Word of God. You cannot get away from it and expect to stand firm in the Lord. You see, it may be just a simple answer for you is you just need to get back into the Word. You see, that might be the simple, that might be the short answer. Just get back into the Word, because the Word of God will strengthen and undergird you in those times of need. And if you want to experience freedom. Now, if you want to live the way you're living and you feel content with putting up with the shackles of sin and failure and all of that, if that's okay with you, then you probably aren't interested. But if you want to be free, you want to be at a better place than where you are now. I don't know where you're at. It's interesting, if you ask people, are they satisfied with their lives? Every now and then you get some people sitting, you know, kind of raising their hands and you're satisfied with your life. And it's amazing how many people, no matter how good they have it, aren't truly satisfied with their life. There's a reason for that. You see, because there are shackles that bind us in life. The Apostle Paul, as I read, he struggled with it, and he talked about being set free from the body of death. It's as if he couldn't get out of that predicament on his own. But it says, if you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine. Then in the 32nd verse, he says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Make you free. He goes on to say in verse 34, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. But then in verse 36, he goes on to say, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If ever there's a verse we ought to remind ourselves of on this Independence weekend, it's that verse. I mean, if the Son makes you free. Now that's the question. Has the Son made you free? You see, some of you, you don't realize that you've already been set free. You just need to live in the truth of that.
If you've given your life to Christ, he's already done the work. It's not like he hasn't done enough. He's gotten you where you need to be. Now you need to just trust him and walk in his path. That's all. You want to be set free, then just start following. That's what Jesus was saying to these people here. You know, if you believe my word, just, you know, if you follow my word, then you're my disciples. If you follow what I'm saying, if you walk in my path, then you're my disciples. You just need to do it. You not just believe it theoretically. You just need to live life that way every day. You live in the freedom that Jesus has already given you. Okay? Now, the devil will try to tell you otherwise. But you got to understand, that's part of the stress and strain and the wretchedness of this life. You know, I'm thankful I'm alive. I'm thankful that God has blessed me to the extent that he has and all that. And I love life. But there are some things about life that, you know, you just have to struggle with. You just struggle with it. And what do you have to do? You got to remind yourself, regardless of what the effects are that life is having on you, you are free because what? The Son has set you free. And if he has set you free, then you're really, really free. I think that's what we need to remind ourselves of, you know, that we celebrate freedom in a nationalistic sense, but the Church of Jesus Christ ought to celebrate the freedom that we have in him. That's what it's really all about. When the secularists, they get a little unnerved when we try to tie in religion with the founding of our nation. But I don't think it's a stretch. I think it's historically accurate that a lot of those early framers of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, the reason why they were bold is because there was a freedom they had experienced in their lives, and they were willing to step out without fear and trepidation and do what they did, knowing that they might lay their lives and fortunes on the line, but they did it because in their souls they already knew they were truly free. They were free. And they believed that the freedom that comes from God was able to sustain them in those early hours of our nation. And ultimately, they would make it, and the country would make it, and God would bless America. Well, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Romans 8:13 says this, and I close with this. If you are living according to the flesh, you must die. You see, if you live only for this life, if that's all you're doing, you're... Stop and think about it. It doesn't really make sense, you know. I mean, you know, you're born, you're educated, go off to school, then you get in a job, then you work hard for what? You're gonna try to amass a fortune or do something to make life comfortable for you. For what? Because later on in life, you're gonna face the realities of life, and then you're gonna look back on life and say, what was it all for? Because I'm gonna die. When you sense your own mortality, when you sense that life is passing you by, and it's going to be over for all of us one day, it's going to be over for you, and then you ask yourself, what was it all for? Without Jesus, there is no answer. But if you know the Lord is your Savior, and if you understand that he has given us life so that we might reflect his image to the world so that the world may be saved and get over the dilemma of sin. If you will come to that realization that's why there's purpose, that will give you purpose. Then it won't make any difference what you achieve in life. It won't make any difference how old you get. It won't make any difference how decrepit you become, how frail you become, how weak you become, how soon death may come knocking on your door. None of that will make any difference at all when you come to the realization it's all because God has me here for a purpose, and that's to reflect his image divine purpose to others who are living their lives without purpose, without real purpose. You see, the purpose for which most people are living their lives, those purposes are terminal. They're not everlasting. They're going to end somewhere. You know, what happens when the guy who wants to be a millionaire becomes a millionaire? What happens to the person who always wanted the big yacht gets the yacht? What happens to the person who always wants the mansion gets the mansion? What happens then? Okay, you live in it for a while, then what? You know what? You never really own anything. You think you do. But ultimately, you're going to leave it to somebody else. Just think about that. Ultimately, you're going to leave it to somebody else. You think you own it. Not really. You have it for a while. You're just a caretaker. You're just a steward. And God requires of us that we be good stewards of what he's given us. That's what's going to determine. That's what's ultimately going to determine the meaning of life for you. How well you have done with the things God has given you. Romans 8:13 says, if you're living according to the flesh, you must die, but if by the Spirit, in other words, if you're living according to the principles of God and you're living for God, you are putting to death what the deeds of the body, it says you will live. Those things that the Apostle Paul felt were holding him back, if you live for God, you're going to put to death those kinds of things that were plaguing him and those kinds of things that are plaguing you. And guess what? It says, ultimately, you're going to live. There is a morning that will dawn in glory for you. As I mentioned about my mother passing away this last 4th of July, she may have stopped breathing. And it was a very peaceful home going. They just stopped breathing. But she didn't stop existing. Immediately, the scripture says we're in the presence of the Lord. If you love Jesus. Now, if you're not living for God, what happens is it's something different. You're not in the presence of Jesus. You see, you're going to begin to experience the beginning of what ultimately will be eternal torment. Now, this is all what the scripture says. I'm not telling you what my idea is. I'm just telling you what the scripture says. You're going to experience, you're going to begin to experience torment like you've never experienced it before. Okay. But if you love Jesus, you live your life for God. When your eyes close in death, you're immediately in the presence of God. And there's glory that you can't even fathom in this life. You need to actually be there to experience it. That's what awaits the child of God, the person who is faithful to the end, the one who lives according to the precepts of Christ, the one who lives according to his teachings. So then you're my disciples. If you're following my word, then you're my disciples. And the promise is to all those who believe, there is a crown of glory that awaits them. I wonder, what's the price for your freedom? Have you paid it? What are you paying in this life for the freedom you think you have? If you accept the Lord, then he's paid it for you. And you can live in that freedom. Would you bow your heads in prayer? I'm going to close in a word of benediction in just a moment. And if you're here today and you say, you know, I hadn't really quite thought of it that way about freedom, but I want to experience that in my life. I want to experience the freedom that God gives, that only he can give. And I'd like to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have nothing to fear. There's nothing in this life that I have to fear. I can live my life and I can be happy where I am, and I can have a sense of satisfaction and purpose regardless of what I have achieved. I can I can see life differently and be content. I want that. And I'm willing to say to the Lord, Lord, I need you in my life, and I want to surrender my life to you. I don't want to live my life for myself, knowing that in the end, there's nothing there but judgment. But I want to live my life for you so that I know that there is something there, something wonderful that awaits me. I want my life to count for something. I don't want to just make my fortune and then leave it to somebody else. I want to celebrate freedom, the real kind of freedom that is experienced by those who accept Christ and live for Him. That's what I want. If that's you today, I'll include you in this prayer. Just slip your hand up and I'll know what you mean. Yes, amen. Yes, amen. Anyone else? Yes, amen. Just put your hand up and it's kind of signifying to, oh, amen. Yes, yes. Okay. Anyone else? Just slip your hand up. Yes, amen. And here's what I want you to do. You need to ask Christ to do it. You need to ask Jesus to give you that freedom. You need to invite Him into your life. It's simple. It's not difficult. You say, Jesus, I want you. I need you. My life really is not going to mean much in the end unless you do something to help me. I want purpose. And as I pray, you need to pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you right now, and you see the hands of them been raised. People here this morning that want to experience the freedom that Christ gives, and a simple prayer like this, Lord, that we all can pray and say, Lord, we need your freedom in our lives. And I want your freedom, Lord, and I surrender my life to you, and I ask you right now to come into my life. Give me your freedom, Lord. Help me to experience the joy that comes for those who surrender to you. I want that. I want joy. I want a sense, Lord, of purpose. I want to know where I'm headed as I face eternity. When that day comes and everything I've gained in life will be left to someone else. Lord, I want to know that there's treasure I've laid up in heaven that awaits me, and that comes through serving you. Jesus, help me. Help me, Lord. I need your help. Take over my life right now. I want to serve you. Give me a sense of your presence. God, may your freedom flood my soul right now as I surrender to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We're going to close. We're going to sing that little chorus, In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. You may want to just seal your commitment by just coming, either kneeling or standing at the front, and breathing a prayer to the Lord before you leave. But I think that would be appropriate on this Freedom Sunday to just recommit ourselves to God.